Well, President Obama wants to decrease prescription drug costs by letting OPM contract directly with the pharmacy management services. And this would carve out the prescription drug benefit from the FEHB. The administration estimates it would save the government about $1.6 billion over 10 years. The White House says it wants to overcome fragmented purchasing strategy and take advantage of volume buying. The second piece to this is the Postal Service also wants to pull out of the FEHBP and create their own defined health benefit program. So this is these are two proposals being considered now by the supercommittee.
And the estimates for this from the administration are that it would save $1.6 billion a year later on. So why do some people think this is so bad?
Well, actually, it's $1.6 billion over 10 years, so it's really only $160 million a year, if I'm doing my math correctly. But yes, the experts think it's bad, and there's several choice words about it, to say the least. James Morrison is a former director of the FEHB for OPM and now president of Morrison & Associates. He says the logic of the proposal is seriously flawed.
First of all, the purchasing of prescription drugs is not fragmented because there is not a single prescription drug benefit in the whole program. The prescription drug benefits or the pharmaceutical benefits are designed by each carrier to be integrated with their medical offerings. It would only be a fragmented purchasing if you had a single benefit and several entities purchasing the identical benefit. As it is, the notion of a fragmented purchasing is a misnomer, and I'm being gracious on that.
He adds the proposal ignores the fact that the utilization actually drives savings, not prices. So, for instance, let me give you an example. He says if 10 employees use a certain drug, the way the costs are reduced by the plan is by reducing how many people use that drug, not cutting the price of the drug by, let's say, 5%. He says, Morrison says, the current plan works well now because carriers compete for enrollees based on total costs. And if you take out the drug piece, then the competition changes. And Morrison actually believes some plans may drop out of the FEHB. Now, Walt Francis is an FEHB expert, consultant. He's also a frequent guest on this station. Both of them spoke together yesterday and others at the American Enterprise Institute panel discussion on the FEHB in Washington. Now, Francis says the administration is proposing a solution where there is no problem. The administration's proposal to use pharmacy benefit manager would actually increase the cost to employees, he says. Francis says the pharmacy benefit managers, there's four giant firms who cover about 230 million people across the country, such as Medico or Express Scripts.
So the four firms each on average, let's say, have 60 million lives covered. And OPM's going to come in and say, you know, Blue Cross used to only cover whatever it covered, 5 million. We're now going to give you a contract for 8 million. Give us a better deal. And if I'm Express Scripts or Medico, I think my first reaction, I mean, I laugh in their face, but the notion that they have brought some really valuable commodity to the table, entitling them to a better deal than IBM or General Motors or General Electric, but, you know, it's not real.
So Morrison says studies have shown that integrating prescription plans and with health insurance plans actually saves 2-6% for the provider, which obviously those savings could be passed down to the employee. Now, if the Postal Service convinces its union to let them withdraw from the FEHBP, then that's more than 1 million fewer employees in the total insurance pool. A smaller pool increases prices because the costs are spread out among fewer people. So it's not only this carve-out, but it's also the Postal Service piece that could really affect how the FEHBP runs.
So, Jason, is there support from the employee unions, OPM, even Democratic members in Congress? Is someone missing something? Because it seems like they are behind this.
Well, there's a couple of disconnects here because, yes, there's a lot of support, both on Capitol Hill and from unions. First, I think the unions are facing a lot bigger challenges, a lot bigger issues from the supercommittee that's trying to reduce the deficit. The ideas such as increasing the amount of money federal employees contribute to their retirement, pay freezes, workforce reductions. And I think this one is like the lesser of all evils in Walt Francis and James Morrison's opinion. Their thinking is that the unions just aren't paying a lot of attention to this. At the panel yesterday, AEI tried to invite OPM. They tried to invite someone from the administration, someone from the Postal Service, even federal unions to get their point across, but all declined or didn't answer their request to participate. I contacted AFGE to get their take on this issue about prescription drugs. Jacqueline Simon is AFGE's public policy director. She says AFGE supports the proposal because carving out the pharmacy benefits is the only way to get better prices because there's little competition and less transparency. She says the statutory pricing, which is used at VA, the Department of Defense, the Bureau of Prisons, the Indian Health Service, they all do direct negotiations and get maximum prices. The plan to give the pharmacy benefit managers a lot of leverage to set prices, but there'll be some transparency, and she says that's the first step toward control. Now, she also warns that the danger would be to carve out this drug plan, and it's making one of those, as she says, employee pay all pseudo benefits, which has been proposed in the past, and she says that AFGE would be against it. But Francis points out that there was a hearing a few years ago where someone from TRICARE, which obviously manages the part of the DOD health system, they testified that the price of drugs that they're paying was going up three times faster than the same drugs that FEHB was paying. So Francis says carving out that piece of drugs may not actually save money and actually may cost more. Now, I asked OMB and the National Active and Retired Federation of Federal Employees for comment. Two other people have obviously big supporters of the proposal, but they never got back to me. Now, I also asked Morrison a similar question about why this proposal has legs if it's so bad. He says the idea is likely started from the auditors.
Inspector General and the auditors wanted a simple way of understanding whether you're getting a good deal or not. I think the solution to that would be to hire smarter people and people with some expertise in pharmacy benefit contracting rather than talk the program. But secondly, there are a lot of other ideas. Whether a junior staffer at OMB gave OPM a bogey number and says, you need to come up with $1.6 billion in savings, and this idea floating around from the IG was there. Whether this is part of the package of the administration looking to have more top-down control over health care, and here's a place to start. I mean, after all, the idea has been advanced that in Medicare Part D, you should get out of the competitive contracting, and HHS should perhaps negotiate a single way.
Now, Morrison says OPM and others seem to have lost sight of the fact that the program is not self-funded by the government. The carriers are the ones at risk and have to compete and make sure that makes it more difficult for the government to dictate prices. Now, Francis says, you know, when you look at those $1.6 billion, those savings are fairly minimal. Employees will spend $120 to $130 billion on prescription drugs over the next year. So saving $1.6 billion over 10 years is barely a rounding error.
Jason, did the panel have any other ideas about how the government could improve the FEHB and also save money?
I think there's plenty out there. One obvious one would be to increase the employee's share of the premium. Francis says the government pays on average 72% of the employees' health care premiums. These are for GS employees. The Postal Service pays an even higher rate of health care premiums.
The premium cost of this program, for the total program, is in excess of $40 billion a year. If the government share went down 1%, that's $400 million a year in savings. Now, I don't propose that, but it is a case that the Postal Service, which is the agency in trouble, is the one that pays roughly 80% of the premium cost compared to the 72% on average that non-postal employees are subsidized. And if you said we are going to take the Postal Service to the all-government average, that's an 8% reduction of their share and so on, and it's some billions of dollars a year.
Now, there are others, too, such as reducing the cost of retiree insurance, especially for the Postal Service. I mean, a lot of people in the Postal Service have been retired for many years. They have a lot of employees who are at that age of near retirement. So Francis says there are ways enrollees in the government can pay less in premiums and have the same level of care by encouraging retirees to use Medicare more often. Francis says the CBO scored this Medicare proposal a number of years ago and says the FEHB would actually save more than $1 billion a year by doing this. Another way would be to change the contribution formulas. Now, this gets into the weeds of how contributions are developed. But basically, as Francis describes it, if a GS employee chooses a lower-cost plan than they're in now, the employee doesn't really get to see or keep those savings. Only the agency does. But Francis says, well, what if that's a 50-50 share instead of whatever the share is, you know, you go from 25% to 27%. that would give employees, what he says, more stake or skin in the game and give them maybe more incentive to do more to maybe look at lower cost plans.